In Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 11 through 18, Moses reminds Israel and us that it is God alone who sustains our life. Man does not live by bread alone, but by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. Take care, lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his rules and his statutes, which I command you today. Lest when you have eaten and are full, and have built good houses and live in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and gold is multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart be lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, who led you through the great and terrifying wilderness with its fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground where there was no water, who brought you water out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna that your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and test you, to do you good in the end. Beware lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. This is the word of the Lord. In Philippians chapter 4, Paul delivers his message of joy from a prison cell. His joy in such circumstances comes from a firm understanding of God's purpose for his life and his belief that I can do all things in him who strengthens me. He writes, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel is found in the Gospel according to St. Luke, where we learn that the blessings of God are more than wealth or health. Reading from Luke chapter 17. On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and a peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen. My text is based on your Old Testament lesson for today, where God says to the people of Israel, beware, lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. This is our text. We'll pretend for a moment. You're living in an apartment complex. You were expecting a check to clear in your checking account just before Thanksgiving, and it doesn't come through. And there you are, Thanksgiving Day, and you don't have a lick to eat in your house. And you got two small children. Across the way is another family who's gathered to celebrate Thanksgiving. You can smell the turkey cooking. And is that mashed potatoes? And gravy that you also smell coming across the hallway. And there's laughter and rejoicing. But in your house, there's just misery. Then comes a knock on the door. It's your neighbor. They say, are you okay? And you explain your circumstances to them. They say, give me a second. They walk into their apartment. And they come back out with a loaf of bread, a jar of peanut butter, and a jar of jelly, and a can of Spam. And they say, here, take this. Now, granted, peanut butter, jelly, and Spam is probably not the best Thanksgiving dinner you've ever had. But would you be grateful? Jim's over there. He's shaking his head. You like Spam? I'm not sure how much support you'd get from the rest of the congregation, but yeah, you'd be grateful. Because you'd recognize that this is a gift that you didn't deserve. Coming from the mercy and compassion of your neighbors across the way, whom maybe you hardly knew. Going to change the situation just a little bit. You had done some work for your neighbors and they promised you a payment. But the check didn't clear. Comes Thanksgiving, same circumstances. You don't have a look in your house. And it's not they who bang on your door, it's you who bang on their door. And you can smell the turkey cooking, and you can smell the mashed potatoes and gravy, and oh, maybe that's even a pumpkin pie cooking. And you ask them, where's my check? They say, sorry, we're waiting on some funds ourselves, but here's some peanut butter and jelly and a loaf of bread and a can of Spam. And while Jim might still be thankful, how many of the rest of you would be? Probably none of us. You're getting the same thing, if you will. But what changes gratitude to perhaps anger? One was wages, and one was a gift. Gratitude, thankfulness. It really isn't so much dependent upon what we have, but it really depends upon how we perceive what we have. Do we see it as a gift, or do we see it as what we are due? God was concerned about Israel in our text for today. He is a loving and a merciful God, and there's nothing about Israel that stands out amongst them, that he should choose them and bring them up out of Egypt, feed them with miraculous food in the desert, and give them that land which they were living in. It was all a gift. But God was concerned that one day they would forget him and go off and worship other gods, who are not by nature gods at all. They would forget his commandments and live, if you will, by rules that don't work. And what would be the fundamental error in their thinking that caused all this? One day they say to themselves, "My power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth." They would forget God. And forgetting God is, in essence, forgetting the basic principle of his existence and relationship with us. The God we worship, the God that distinguishes our God from all other gods that have ever been invented or devised by man, is the principle that he lives by, which is grace. What we possess is not something that we deserve. By the contrary, we've done everything to not deserve what we have. What we've accomplished by our deeds in life is to only merit death and hell and earthly troubles. But because of the grace of God, when we stood condemned before him, he sent forth his Son. Not because we deserved it, but because he loves us, and because he was faithful to his promises. And so he makes a sacrifice that we can't make. He makes the payment for our sins that we never could. And he gives to us that which we could never deserve: forgiveness and eternal life. But his grace doesn't stop there. Each and every day he provides us with all that we need to support this body and life. As Luther said, "For all which is our duty to thank and praise, to serve and obey him." We live as thankful people only When we understand that what we have is not what we deserve, not what we have earned, but that it is all a precious gift from a loving and merciful God. That is the source of living a joyful, thankful life full of praise to God. It's not how much you have. It's how you understand you got it. And one of the challenges that you and I face as we live out our lives in this world is communicating that to a world which more and more is abandoning God. In your newsletter this month, I think you'll find some information just on what's been happening in our culture in regards to the percentage of people who identify themselves as Christians, the percentage of people that identify themselves as atheists, a lack of belief in God, a lack of belief in a gracious God is increasing. And a belief that there is a God that we need to humble ourselves before, but also a God that we need to recognize as gracious and merciful. That understanding is being lost in our world, and we are the ones that God has tasked to restore that knowledge by talking about Him, by acknowledging His blessings, by not focusing on what we've accomplished in life, but by focusing on what God has accomplished through us, by giving us gifts and help, by telling others how blessed you have been. And not just when, if you will, great things happen in your lives by a worldly standard, but in what the world might consider the littlest of blessings. Things not even needing to be acknowledged because they seem so insignificant. Tell others about your gratitude and thankfulness. Remind them that you didn't deserve it. But thanks be to God, who not because of your power, and not because of your strength, not because of your wisdom, not because of your talent, not because of your hard work, but because of His grace and His love, you have received all the blessings that you do. The greatest of all being that blessing of forgiveness and eternal life that we have through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us not talk about what we have done, but let us praise God for the things He has done. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.